Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Shri Vrindavan, I am now very fortunate. I have become the object of your invaluable mercy. You have given me the permission to reside within your boundaries, a permission that is prayed for by Lord Brahma, Shukadeva Goswami, Sanat Kumar, and others. This greatest of gifts gives me hope that someday I will directly serve the splendid, charming, eternally youthful, amorous, fair, and dark divine couple, Radha Shyam. O Sri Vrindavan, you are more affectionate than millions of mothers. Your supremely wonderful transcendental glories are forever recalled by Lakshmi, Shiva, and a host of great souls. Yes, it's true that you have now appeared before my eyes, and you have granted me Brajavas, which is sought by the most advanced devotees. But why do you now hesitate to allow me to serve the rasik janas that live within your boundaries? Punyat punyam mangalam mangalanam divya divyam kamadam kamadanam sarat saram premadam premadanam anyad vrinda ranyato manyatamga Nanyat badami na shinomi na chintayami Nanyat prajami na bajami na cha shayami Pashyami jagrati tata sapnapina nanyat Shri radhika rati vinoda vanam vinaham Radha vaktra sakroja divya marupam Radha drisho ranjanam Radha Vakshasi Divya Nila Vasanam Radha Mana Shrinkalam Radha Nabhi Sudasara Kuvalayam Radha Parashinakin Dunam Lanchanameva Vanchatavane Radhaka Kela Mrigam Madhura Madhura Nana Pushpa Saurabhya Labhyam Madhura Madhura Bringa Shaini Jankara Ramyam Madhura Madhura Gayat Kokilam Sharikirir Madhura Madhura Gushta Pranabandhu Prabandham Madhura Madhura Radha Kinkari Klipta Shayam Madhura Madhura Radha Krishna Keli Nikunjam Madhura Madhura Tat Premon Mandadali Brindham Madhura Madhura Brinda Ranyam Eva Shretosmi Jayati Jayati Radha Prema Share Ragada Jayati Jayati Krishnas Tadrasapara Trishna Jayati Jayati Brindam Satsakinam Dvayakyam Jayati Jayati Brinda Kananam Tvatsadam Namostu Vrindavana Sauravabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Vibramabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Jivanabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Nagarabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Satkripabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Sadrasabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Purnatabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Gocharabhyam Yadeva Satchit Rasa Rupa Buddhir Vrindavanasta stira jangameshu satnirvalikam purushastadeva chakanti radha priyasevi rupa. I'll just read one translation of the first one, Punyat Punyam. Brajadham is the most sacred of all sacred places, the most auspicious of all auspicious things. Vrindavan is the most splendid and transcendental of all that is splendid and transcendental. And Braj is the greatest desire-fulfilling philanthropist of all desire-fulfilling philanthropists. Not only is Vrindavan greater than the greatest of they who bestow divine love, but Vrindavan is the greatest giver of transcendental love. Is there any other place other than Shridham Vrindavan that can be thought of in this way? The answer is no. So now, continue with our classes describing the glories of the Brijvasis. Chapter 5, verse 28. 164. Saparadascha ye radha padam adhyaya chetasi vasanti vrinda pina vasanti vrinda vipine nanyandan yannamamitan. I offer my respectful obeisances unto those unalloyed devotees who, in spite of being offenders, live in Vrindavan, while keeping the lotus feet of Sri Radha within their hearts. So, somehow, there are devotees that Prabhupada Saraswati Pada has experienced or met that on some level or other they're aparadis. They're with aparads or some aparads with them. Sa aparadash. But Radha Paramadhyaya Chetasi. They may be, because there's many dimensions to every human being. So on one level he may be a little coarse and rough in his behavior and even offensive sometimes. But that doesn't deny the fact that he may be extremely attached to Radharani. Not at the level of a sakti, obviously. That's really attachment, a sakti bhav and prem. And he's not very fixed because one is an aparadi, has not really entered the threshold of nishtita bhakti. He's still in anartha nivritti. Nam nam akari bahada nija sarva shaktis. Tarapita niyamata smarane nakala. So he's durdevam, he's somewhat removed from the full mercy expression of the holy name. So he's not experiencing all the potencies. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva. All the potencies of Krishna are there in the name to make one pure, but if someone offends the devotees, then the name withholds its power. It does not show its light on your heart. So they remain somewhat in darkness, but at the same time they say, I love my Radha. So he's offering respects to them. Yeah, these are living here, and lotus feet of Radharani, Radha Padam Adhyaya Chetasi, Vasanti Brinda Vipan. They're living in the forest of Vrindavan. And maybe that's why they've come here, because they couldn't. They made so many offenses to devotees in different city temples, and they couldn't really quite cope up. Some expression they use now, cope up. I never heard of cope up, but they can't cope with their surroundings or with the society of the Vaishnava Samaj, and they keep making offenses. So then they say, well, I'm just going to go to Vrindavan. I'm taking shelter in Radharani Vrindavan. Forget all these guys. So he's left a whole trail of offenses behind him, which he'll have to work out. And maybe that will, the Dham Shakti will make him realize that he has a few unpaid bills to square off on those debts he has to pay before his road is clear. The Bhakti Marg won't be clear until one clears his debts with the Vaishnavas. So this is, again, a very broad vision, because okay, on one level this person is an offender, so I should kind of ignore him and not really even pay any attention to him. But then wait a minute, he's not just some goofball from Dubai or Mumbai living in a temple, you know, the basic aparadi, Kanishtha Adhikari, or not even Kanishtha, Prakriti Bhakta that's somehow in the temple. But he's living in Vrindavan. So one of the ten, what are the ten aparadhas of Vrindavan? One of the aparadhas is to think that the residents of Vrindavan or the pilgrims living there are ordinary people. They are extraordinary. The Ruskis and the Buskis and the Tuskis and the Videshis and Deshis and crazies and lazies and all kinds of motley crew of bhaktas over here. They're all special. Radharani's letting the dacoits and gundas and goofballs and crazies and lame and insane and womanizers and playboys, and everybody's here. It's all going on. It's all happening at your front door. There's rapes and robberies and murders every week. There's a murder in Vrindavan. peaceful land of Krishna. Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, what was that? Oh, there's another murder over property. So it's a wild place. But every wild person living here is actually living in the holy Dham. They simply die here, they get liberated. It's not so easy. People live here as Gundas and Dacoits, and then they die on the way to Agra, or they die on the way to Delhi. Live here as devotees, they die on the way to Delhi. Or in Delhi, their relatives take them out. It's a gift. To live here is a gift, and to die here is a bigger gift. Living here is promotion, dying here is liberation. If you live here, you're promoted. You may be promoted, but then die somewhere else and start again on your path of promotion. I offer my respectful obeisances to these unalloyed devotees who, in spite of being offenders, live in Vrindavan while keeping the lotus feet of Sri Radha within their hearts. Well, that's within their hearts. That's the interesting point, because we may at least think we're not offenders, and maybe we're not offenders, and we're living in Vrindavan, but are we keeping the lotus feet of Radharani always in our heart? Do we even know what they look like? Have we ever even thought about them? Do we know the 8 marks on the bottom of our right foot and 11 marks on the bottom of our left foot? Do we even know where they are? Can we close our eyes and see them when we chant? See the Yagyashala and see the row of mountains and the conch shell and the earring and you can see it all. And the effulgent toenails glittering like rubies. But Apara Siddhi Riddhi Digda Satpanangalina Ke Kadagur Shisiyamam Kripa Kadaksha Vajranam. So many mystic cities, Riddhian city. So much wealth and opulence and mystic powers are emanating from the array of our pinky toenail. From one little glowing dot from our pinky toenail, unlimited opulences and mystic cities are emanating and expanding throughout the universe. And anybody who catches one ray of one toenail of Radharani, they become a Riddhiwala. They become wealthy, opulent, or they become a Siddhiwala. If you want to actually attain prema, then you have to take shelter, Radhapada Shraya. Take shelter of Radha's feet and Radha Pada Seva at the server feet, then you get the prema. Otherwise, you just run with the Riddhi and run with the city. Take the Riddhi and run with it. Take the city and run with it. Siddhi Vinayak. Echai Gosai Kori Charanan Vandan Yahoite Vignanash Abhishtapuran Sri Rupshi Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jeev Gopala Bhatta Das Raghunath. This is our Siddhi Vinayak, Prema Vinayak, everything Vinayak. Six Goswamis. And the Sringadeva is there, and Ganesh is there, everybody's there. The Vaidhi Sadhaka worships the Sringadeva, and then the Raghunuga Sadhana worships the six Goswamis. Now, this is the value of any contact with a Brijvasi. That was how they have no faults. So that whole section was describing how Vrijvasis have no faults, even if they're offenders, they have no faults. These are verses that we discussed, how we should develop the vision and be convinced that no matter what they do, turn the other cheek. Like the Jesus philosophy, beat me on that side, you crack my cheek, okay, turn the other one, crack that one too. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So it's not a matter of us begging forgiveness or Brijvasis, but we should just tolerate and hold them above our head and keep a distance, because once Prabhupada, there were some conversations with Prabhupada and his disciples about the Brijvasis, and he said, Prabhupada, the Brijvasis is very difficult to understand, and said, do they need a guru to go back to Godhead? Everyone needs a guru. He said, no, they already have a guru. They don't need any guru, they already have a guru, Prabhupada said. And the disciples said, well, who's their guru? They're not surrendering to you. And they said, Krishna's their guru. But they have to follow. They have to follow him. Krishna Upadesh, Krishna Shiksha, they have to follow. Otherwise, they're bogus disciples. They're not really disciples. So they won't really get the perfection the disciple received by following Guru and Krishna. And then another purport, he says that don't try to understand them. They're all in the all the Brijvasis are on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti. That's what he said. Now how that applies to some migrant worker who came here from Andhra to do construction. Now his mother came here 30 years ago and he was born here, so he's technically quote unquote some type of immigrant Brijbasi. But the purport is there, so it's the idea is that who's ever living here, they're hard to understand, difficult to perceive who or what they are, or who or what or how, what they're doing, or why or how they're doing what they're doing. Don't try to analyze it, don't try to calculate it, don't try to measure it, don't try to understand it, just say, Jai Radhe, you have a donation. Be nice. Other places you can try to figure people out or use your psychology and analyze and the modes of nature and he's tamasic. Here it doesn't really work. It really doesn't work. It's a place. Vrindavan is a place of acceptance. You've been accepted here, so now you have to practice the art of acceptance. Somehow Radharani's accepted us here. Fault-filled that we are, and unqualified that we are, but somehow Radharani's accepted us. So now that we've somehow got our feet here, now we say, oh, now I start to have to judge everyone now. But we've somehow, fortunately, been accepted, so now we should pass on the parampara of accepting everyone. That if we've been accepted and we know what kind of wretches and rascals we are individually, then we can understand that, well, I guess there's some other people got accepted also. It's amazing. All these guys got in this college and I thought I was pretty smart, but there's a lot of people got in this school, and some by bribes and some by scheduled caste. He doesn't even know how to count, and I was toppers in school. We're all here in the same college, and going to who's going to make it, that's another thing. Who's going to graduate in 4 years, but we're all here as freshmen or whatever they call it, beginners. So we're like that. So let's hear about the value of any contact with a Brijbasi, even if they punch you in the nose. What's the value of that nose punch? It's much more valuable than a punch in the nose anywhere else. Because when they punch you in the nose, you don't see stars, you see Radha's feet as you fall to the ground, unconscious. I wouldn't want to find out, but I've heard like that. Page 201, chapter 6, verse 29. Some verses describing how the value of any contact with a Brijbasi, hopefully it's more favorable than a punch in the nose, but anything's possible, depending on how you agitate the situation and who you pick on, because they're not too slow in that department either. Ye Vrindavanam avasanti yadiva Sprishvata Dristvagata Dayanti Pranamanti Tadguna Garan Gayanti Shinvanti Ya Murdna Bibrati Tadraja Kwachna Tat Sambanda Sambandinas Tanap Yunatite Parampadam Aho Brindavanam Pavanam Tanap Yunayate Param Paramaho Brindavanam Pavanam Param Param Maho Vrindavanam Bhavanam. Beautiful. Param Param, like Param Param Naviparam Natesham. Param Param Naviparam Natesham. Bhagavatam. Param Param Maho Vrindavanam Bhavanam. Vrindavanam Bhavanam. Oh, it's beautiful. Paramparam maho Vrindavanam bhavanam. Beautiful. Alas, anyone who, after seeing or touching the Brijvasis, goes somewhere else. In other words, he comes here on a yatra, or he visits for a short time, he sees a Brijvasi, he touches them, then he goes, he leaves Vrindavan, he goes Mumbai, Bombay, Ruski land, anywhere. He goes somewhere else, but still he meditates or offers obeisances to, he meditates upon those Brijvasis that he touched or saw, or he meditates on them, or he offers obeisances to them by remembering their name, or he hears or chants their transcendental qualities, or he smears the dust from their lotus feet on his head, and he remains connected with objects related to Sri Vrindavan in any way, he's awarded the goal of life by the most sanctified Vrindavan. Vrindavanam Pavanam Paramparam Maho Vrindavanam Pavanam. So this Vrindavanam Pavanam, it purifies one to such an extent that any contact with Vrindavan, the people in Vrindavan, by memory, by glorifying them, by remembering them, by offering obeisances, to meditating on them, you become purified and attain the Paramparam, which is the spiritual world. It's very interesting points. It says here that just taking the English, analyzing that, offering obeisances to the Brijvasis that one has met even when he's left the Dham. It shows you how powerful intention is. Thoughts and intentions are powerful. We hear in the Brahma Samhita about Muni Pungavanam, that you travel at the speed of mind still you can't understand Govinda. So the mind can go very fast. Intentions, good wishes, will. As we were describing the principle of Pindar, Shraddh, that we offer some food to our ancestors that have departed every year. That's a Hindu ritual in Dharma Shastras. And it actually is not just an empty ritual, it's very powerful and scientific that when we're doing that, we're thinking, we have the picture there of our father or mother, or grandfather, whomever, and we're thinking about them and we're remembering them, we're praying to them, and all this puja and yagyas are going on and offering food and whatnot. And our intention is that they get a nice future situation and they have something to eat and carry on nicely and get situated nicely in their next life. So that's our intention. So that through that food and through that ritual or yagya, that intention, that's what's carried by the mantras, by the puja, by the demigods, Agni Devi and Swaha and the Yajnavai Vishnu. They carry our intentions and our intentions enter the mind. They enter the mind of our relatives who are living in Petri Loka in a subtle body. They're living in a mental body. So we know how we can feel good in our minds or feel bad in our minds. We can feel satisfied. We may have it, maybe we haven't eaten for days, but our minds may be very satisfied. We don't even think about the demands of the body. We're relishing some inner satisfaction through bhajan, through meditation, whatever. So that they live in the mental body. They don't eat, but they need satisfaction. They need good thoughts and wishes of their loved ones, and so they become healthy that way, and they become energized that way. Actually, they get energy that way. So this is the same principle that he who reasons ill will say that Vaishnavas die while thou art still living and sound. So remembering the Vaishnavas, this is what Raghunath Das and other followers of the Goswamis are even today regularly doing, is invoking the memory of great Vaishnavas and offering obeisances, dandavats on the ground while remembering them. And Raghunath Das Goswami was the acharya of this practice of sadhana as a Prayojan acharya. He was teaching smaranam. So one of the bases of smaranam or any limb of Raghunatha Bhakti is kripa. Without kripa, one can't really get much success in the line of Raghunatha sadhana. Vaidhi sadhana is one's own efforts and practices are somewhat rewarded with purification and progress, but when one enters the realm of rag and becomes under the allegiance of the ragatmika janas, then it's a very subtle relationship which depends on intentions and wishes, good wishes of the contemporary Vaishnavas and also the ascended masters and our parampara and the nitya siddhas also. Their intentions and good wishes have to come down to our heart to help us progress. So he would remember, he's here on the banks of Shamakund, he would say, oh, Surabh Damodar Goswami was worse than Puri. He would remember him in an offer Dandavats, and his memory, his thoughts would go to Surabh Damodar, and Surabh Damodar's thoughts would come to him. I remember sometimes I remember Vaishnavas that I've met, and I'm offering obeisances, and then when I sleep that night, I dream of them. They come to me in my dream, and they even instruct me. So this is a practice that somehow there's a very subtle connection between the super soul and the soul, and devotees and their guru, the shishya and their guru. These are all very subtle, inexplicable, yet spiritually scientific phenomenon. So he's saying here that such power is there, that we should, and look what he said, he gets a whole list of things to do. And we somehow saw Vaishnava, oh, I went to Vrindavan, I saw this Vaishnava, I went to Varsana, I met this such a special devotee, and let me offer obeisances to him. So that, it's all recorded by Krishna, all the Shravanis and Shravanas. The servants of Chandragupta, he has 20 lady secretaries and 20 men secretaries called the Shravanis and the Shravanas. Shravanis are the female secretaries. And they record they pick up all their information by sound. Because every move, every activity, there must be some sound. Very subtle recording technique. And the Shravanas, they monitor all the sounds of the men. And they report to Chandragupta, then he tells Yamaraj. And you go to the loneliest place, but some sound will be there. Breathing. Or so many other sounds may be made here and there. But sounds of pleasure, sounds of pain, sounds of birth, sounds of death. Babies born. It's the primal scream of birth. Someone's being knifed in an alley, there's also screaming, crying. So all sound is there, everywhere. In the beginning there was the word, and the word was Om, God. The sound is everything. So they record everything, so that what everything we're doing is recorded, every obeisance is every remembrance, every thought. With a simple enough move, a thought, a gesture. A thought and a gesture. If you have enough thoughts, enough of the right thoughts, and enough of the right gestures or physical expressions, you'll go back to the spiritual, you'll go to the spiritual world. The path to God is paved with good intentions and actions backing them. Christians fall short in the action category. They say they have an expression, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. He meant well, but he went to hell. So Christians may have good, I want to be a good person, I want to be honest, but then their actions, they don't walk their talk. They can speak a good Christian line, but then they fall short on the follow through. They fall flat because they don't have that determination, that inner purity, that inner strength, determination which comes by bhakti bhajan, by kripa. Nam kripa, Vaishnava kripa, Guru kripa, Bhagavan kripa. Ultimately, it's all Bhagavan kripa. Because they're Christians, but they're not connected because there's no Sharanagati. They're bogies. parallel. They're enjoying, God's enjoying. So God says, there's no parallel path here. Either you submit and follow the path of Jesus, or you'll have to suffer, despite your good intentions. Here's her chants, her transcendental quality, smears the dust in her lotus feet and remains connected with objects related to Sri Vrindavan in any way. Kvachananat sambandha sambandhinas. So this is something that's quite well known amongst Vrijvasis, how to remain connected. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Those things that are connected with God, like the holy Dham, Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, Parishads, Parishishta, and Dham, they're all transcendental. So those Brijvasis, the traditional ones, when they would leave Vrindavan for some hospitalization or visiting some relatives here and there, they would stay connected to Vrindavan. This is Sambandha, Vrindavan Sambandha. Stay connected with Vrindavan, that sambandha, that firm bondage and tight connection. How would they do that? They do that by carrying a little dibba, a little container of brajaraj. Then every time they would eat, they would put it on like spices. And if some relatives who are a little bit too relative, relatives that are too much in the relative plane of understanding, relative means material, lokik, vichar, walas. Then they would say, well, this is some Ayurvedic digestive, some salts. Then the relatives might say, well, let me try some. They say, fine. And you put some on their plate. And then they eat just a little. They eat rajaraj. Very nice trick. Or they take javana gel, or radhakan gel, and they put in their water. They carry a little vial with them, in the morning they put some drop on their head. On my altar, wherever I go, I have a little dibba brajaraj and then radhakund water. As I learned this from my Brijvasi friends that I consider to be true Brijvasis, and I tried to model some of my behavior and thinking after their teachings and actions. That's called intelligence. We should learn this ourselves. Like we may go to Bombay for our business or for our families or whatnot. So we should now stay connected with Vrindavan and carry some radhakund water with us in a little homeopathic jar, some kind of little hand lotion jar or something. And some dust. I mean, it's kind of a natural thing. I'm telling you to do these things, but when one has love, like if someone really loves some girl, then he gets some part of her clothing and hangs it on his rearview mirror or something. At least in America, they used to get different things and this, that, and other things. And they want to have some connection with their beloved. Some clothing and the same thing. Girls have some you know, like in the old days, in the 1890s, a girl would drop a handkerchief and then the prince would pick it up. Oh, this is that princess's handkerchief. I want to marry her. Smells the handkerchief. Oh, you know, it's like Maya, 100% Maya, but I'm talking about Yoga Maya. We want to carry things that remind us of Vrindavan. So I'm going to Bombay, okay, goodbye, Vrindavan chapter closed, goodbye, you know, suitcase, hang my beads on the thing, get on the plane, now I'm a cool guy in the jet plane, back in Bombay, get my t-shirts, my sandals, you know, be in Maya. That's not really the idea of being a devotee. Wherever you go, your devotion goes with you. So